here at Grace Life would love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and further establish you in the truth of God's Word.
Amen. So we're going to jump right into the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, one of my favorite books. I don't know about you, I like the short books in the Bible. Amen. I like Titus. Titus for me, whenever I feel down or I'm going through leadership stuff or church things, then I just, like, whenever I get a chance, I just read through Titus, and you get just like this condensed. It's like T20 cricket. You don't want to read for 5 days. You just want it like you want it there. Colossians, 4 chapters, power packed, fully loaded. There we go. Ready, stirred up. And that's what we're going to go through this morning. We're not going to go through all chapters this morning, but we're going to look at some verses. So really, what Colossians is about, Colossians and Ephesians very much go together. Colossians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a group of believers, a new church, people that he's never met in person. Like, this is a grandchild of Paul's. Okay, so Paul shared, and he shared, and someone called Epaphras, he heard about what Paul shared, and he got so excited, he went back to Colossians and to Colossia, and he went there and he shared what he heard. And that's how that's the power of Christianity. We just share what we've heard. And we multiply around the world. And Paul now writes to these people and he says, really, guys, I want to write to you about heaven's hope. Heaven's hope. There's hope for you. There's something more than what you see. And he divides this into two sort of themes, and we've divided it into 4 chapters. Okay, Paul didn't write divided into 4 chapters. So that's whenever we read something, it's good to sit and do the full, get the full picture. Amen. So the first chapter, chapters 1 and 2, the first area basically of focus for Paul is doctrine. So he's focusing on doctrine. He's saying, this is what Christ is. This is what we should believe. This is where your power lies. It lies in what you believe. And then the third and the fourth chapters, he says, now you can practically go and live according to this. So he doesn't tell you just this is what is expected of you. If you open in Colossians 3, you're going to feel condemned. But open in Colossians 1 and get through 3 and go on to 4, and then you're going to feel stirred up and ready, and you're going to realize that all your sins have been forgotten. The things that Paul says you are now ashamed of, your prior life, that has been dealt with, paid with the blood of Christ. You are now clean. But if you're just going to look in and zoom in too deep, you're going to feel like condemned. Oh, Lord, you know everything I do wrong. Yes, he does, but he doesn't like to remind us of that. Neither does he like to be reminded of them, because God said, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. And then so many Christians feel obligated to say, oh Lord, you've forgotten, so let me tell you. Lord, you've forgotten what I did wrong, so let me tell you. And we call it confession. No, that's not what confession is. Should be who I am in Christ, what Jesus has done for me. That's a good confession. A good confession is not when you remember 80% of all the sins you committed. Amen. Come on, guys. That's not what a good confession is. A good confession is who Christ is in you. And then so he tells us this is what is happening, guys. This is what has happened. He speaks about the mystery. The mystery that has been hid for ages and generations has now been revealed. And that's good news for us, because it means everything that is in the Old Testament has been a mystery. It's been shrouded in mystery. And now it's been revealed. It was shadows, but now there's the substance. If you're waiting for someone, or a little kid is waiting for someone to come home, and they see the shadow coming, they get excited, but they do not embrace the shadow. They embrace the reality. They embrace the person that comes after the shadow. And the same with us. The Old Testament is awesome and it's amazing, but it's shadows pointing us that someone is coming. And that someone is Christ. And now guess what? We live after Christ who has come. And I said last Sunday, I'm so glad to be part of this church, because we're not going to move on from Christ after Easter. Amen. And I pray that many other churches will not move on from preaching Christ, preaching Jesus after Easter, and then maybe remember to do it again on Christmas. I mean, we're going to preach Christ from now until Christmas, because that's we don't want to get holed up with shadows. We want a real thing. Amen. Because that's where the substance is. So there's the doctrine, and then there's practicality. The theme, the doctrine that Paul is preaching or explaining is really Christology. Now that's a very big word, which means the study and relating to the person, nature, and role of Christ. I like that. That's probably my new favorite word. Christology, because that's what we're about. Who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. Revealing the mystery. Isn't that my job as pastor, to reveal the mystery to you, like Paul has revealed the mystery to the people, the churches that he wrote to? He says, guys, there was a mystery, but guess what? It's no longer hidden. So this is where the good stuff is. This is where we go. This is how we go about it. This is who Christ is in us. So Paul is telling us what we have and who we are. You can write that down. Paul tells us what we have. That's the first part of the book. And then the second part, he tells you who you are. So now you can go live according to what you have. Now, if you don't know, this is funny. I drove to Bloemfontein one time to pick up my brother-in-law. But the funny thing is I drove with his car. Okay, there's a long story how that came to be. He came down with a car and then went back to fetch his wife. And then the car that they came down with broke down. So I was looking after their one car. They were moving down to Cape Town. And I drove from my house when I was still lived in Durbanville. And I lived all the way to Bloemfontein. And he asked me, so what was your fuel economy with his car now? Because he's obviously interested. And it wasn't as great as he expected. And I was like, I didn't really like put foot like you think I did, but and then he got in the car driving back because I was now really tired, and I saw he put it into sixth gear, and I was like, oh, this car has six gears. You see, the beauty of being able to preach is you tell all your stories, huh? All your most embarrassing stories you get to share with the world. That's just that's my job. So what is it that I did not know what I had? So I missed out. Paul is telling us what we have in Christ so that we do not miss out. He's telling us, listen, there's another way. There's a new gear. There's a new and living way. We don't know if it's Paul, but the writer of Hebrews says that. There's a new way. There's a living way. It's no longer sacrifices and offerings. It's Christ. There's a sixth gear. There's a new way. And I want to share with you what that looks like. And I believe as a church, we are moving into that next gear. We're moving into what God has for us. We are moving into glory. Now, glory, you can charismanify that word a lot, but glory is really God's intent because he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1 and verse 27. Christ where? In you. Who's writing? Paul. He says, he doesn't say, I'm Mr. Holy, so Christ in me is your hope for glory. I can see some TV ministries like taking that approach. You need me because Christ is in me and I'm your hope for glory, your hope for healing. No, he says Christ in you, the hope for glory. Yes, Christ in me too, but we're all part. We're all resonating the same spirit, which is Christ. We are one with him, as Corinthians says. So really, we're looking at this book. It is all about Christ. It is about who we are and what we have in him. And really, the first thing I want to look at as a theme almost is the supremacy of Christ. The supremacy of Christ. The fact that Christ is above all. And that's so important because if he isn't, then like we are in with a problem. If like Paul writes in Corinthians, he says, if we don't have resurrection from the dead, then everything we believe is useless. Then preaching Christ, there's no use to it. Because if Christ did not die, then our whole gospel falls flat. And the same here, if Christ is not supreme, then everything we believe is incomplete. But we're looking at a series which we're calling complete because we are complete in him. Colossians 1 and verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before what? All things. And in him all things consist. Now that's a lot of words. it's a wordy statement, but it basically says like nothing exists without Christ and everything exists because of Christ. And he is ahead of it all. He is before it all. He was the first. And in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in him in all things he may have the preeminence. So preeminence again is a big word, which really means first place. So Jesus says in him is first place. And guess what? If we are in him, we are in first place. How awesome is that? So everything in Christ, he has the preeminence, okay? He has the first place in all things. Now what I really want us to get, like what I want you to go home with today is Christianity is not a climbing of the ladder like Jacob's dream into heaven. It's not a new revelation that gives you more of God, that gives you more of God, that gives you more of God. No, it gives you more glory. No, Christianity is a one-stop shop. Once you've received Christ, you are complete in Him. Okay, now it doesn't feel like it, does it? Because we are still stuck in our minds and our thinking, and we need to now renew our mind. Romans 12 says it beautifully, to who we have become in Christ. Who we are now in Christ. We need to look into the mirror of the Word, James says, so that we do not think about what we used to look like. We see who we are now. Because where is Christ? Christ is now in us. Christ is in us. Christ is the power of God in the believer, living with us, residing with us. The Passion says He is the head of this of His body, which is the church. And since He is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, He is the most exalted one. I love that. That's beautiful. He is the most exalted one. Holding first place in what? Everything. Holding first place in everything. You see, as Christians, we should not really be struggling with ambition because we're already first. What is ambition? Ambition is wanting to climb the ladder to get to the top to get first place. Now, I'm not saying we're not going according to excellence, and perfection is a different story, but you are even perfect in Christ. Colossians 2, we're going to look at it. You are perfect. So you don't need to strive for perfection in your work or at home or anything like that, because what perfectionism is a striving always to attain to more, to become more perfect. And that's the danger of perfection, is you're never going to be perfect. What you do is never going to be perfect. But in our spirits, we have been perfected in Christ. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. These are big statements I'm making, but I really want us as a church to get this, to drench in this, and then move forward from that place, to get into that sixth gear so that our economy, our effectiveness, so that we have more testimonies of what it means to see people healed, walking around, sharing the gospel, not just on a Sunday, but every day of the week. Verse 19 says, "For God is satisfied." Woo! That's a word for someone. God is satisfied to have all His fullness dwelling in Christ. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness of God should dwell. In who? In Christ. The what? The fullness of God. So when you have Christ, you are not missing out on God, because the fullness of who God is in Christ. Okay, I'm making a, like, remember I said this is like T20 cricket. It's like if you miss it, you're going to have to listen to the teaching again. You probably need to anyways. It is the fullness of Christ, and guess what? God is pleased. Wow. How many people in the world does not know that statement? How many people in the world are trying to please and appease a higher being, whether it's the moon, the stars, whether it's Hare Krishna, whether it's Allah, that people are going into Ramadan now, and they are all doing this to try and please and appease and satisfy this theological being who they not really know. But guess what? As Christians, we know Him. Why? Because we are part of Him. And He is part of us. And I'm not making these things up, by the way. Go read John 17. Jesus prays before He goes in the Garden of Gethsemane. Again, Jesus amazes me every single time, because I'm going through things and then I pray for me. Jesus is going through hell, literally. He's about to get crucified and He knows it, and He prays for us. He doesn't pray for Him. He prays for us. He prays for the disciples, and then He says, "Lord, those who are going to believe because of the word that these people are sharing." What a great prayer. It's a prophetic prayer. It's a declaring prayer. It is a looking out for the kingdom prayer. That's a good prayer. And Jesus says, "Lord, what would they need to know?" They need to recite the Bible from A to C. No, they need to, you know what Jesus prays? He says, "Lord, this is the secret." He prays to God before the cross. His 3 years of ministry is about to come to a halt, handbrake, crazy town. And what does He pray? He says, "Lord, that they would be one with us, like I am one with You and You one with Me. That they would know that the Father's love dwells in Me, and now that You love them with the same love that You love Me, Your Son." What is the secret to the victorious Christian life? Knowing who you are and what you have. Knowing who you are the beloved of God, you are the Son, like Jesus is your brother. Jesus is your brother. I want to give away something from the evening service right now. Shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyway. So this guy passes away as an atheist. It's a testimony that I watched. Passes away as an atheist, and he gets brought back to life by Christ, and Jesus says, "I am your brother." And next thing, he opens his eyes and he's in the ER. Jesus doesn't say, "I am so high and mighty being." He says, "I am your brother." He invites him into family. He says, "Come and explore what that means." What is the victorious Christian life? It is knowing who we are and what we have. We are the beloved sons of God. John writes about it so beautifully. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." There was a voice from heaven when Jesus got baptized, and what did that voice say? It says, "This is my beloved son." John was there. John heard the voice. John later on in life looks back and he says, "Guess what, guys? Beloved, now are we the sons of God." One son came down, the beloved, so that God now can have many beloved sons and daughters. God had a son, but he wanted a family. And he wanted you to be part of that. God had a son, but he wanted a family. And he wanted each and every one of us to be part of that. Christ is supreme. Christ is supreme. Christ, God is satisfied, not through our prayers, not through our traditions or ordinances, not so the things that we do to try and appease God and try and fill ourselves with God. There's so many traditions of men that is trying to please God, even in Christianity. Let's be honest this morning. There's so many things that people do to connect to God or to feel God or to plug into God or to appease God. And really, like, if God is pleased and we are complete, then what are we about? I thought that would go about over like that. If God is satisfied and if we are complete, then what are we trying to tap into? What are we trying to stir up? What are we trying to accomplish or build our faith? You have the faith of God. You are complete in Him. Galatians 5, 22, 23 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is faith. You go through the fruit of the Spirit and you tell me you need something more to please God, to please your fellow men, to live a life of success in the Christian circles. Not Christian circles, the Christian life, the normal life, the abundant life. I used to think Christianity is boring, man. That's the people who sit in the front of the bus. You know, all the fun happens at the back. But I was too afraid to go to hell, so I sat in the front of the bus. Or I sat around the middle. You know, you don't want to be totally uncool, and you don't want to be that guy right in the corner. You, like, sort of hover. You know what? I found that Christianity is the adventure of a lifetime. It's the best life. It's the most adventure, most fun. I've traveled the world, not through corporate life, through Christian life. I see things. I have no limits. Amen? I've got no limits. I don't know what my salary is going to be ever. It's limitless. Well, there's both sides to it, but if you know what it's going to be, you know what it's going to be. Amen? I can trust God for more, like always. We can all do, even if you have a salary. Don't limit God to your salary, but trust God. That's the life. That's the abundant life. It's the Christian life. Because guess what? Hebrews says, don't worry about money, because be content with what you have, because what you have is Jesus. What you have is completion. What you have is the fullness of God in a body. Yes. So God said, I am pleased that all of me lives in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 10, now you are complete in him. Guys, we need to get this. We look at the supremacy of Christ. Let's move on. The centrality of Christ. Is Christ what it's all about? Is Christ what the whole Old Testament points to and what then the whole New Testament either explains or looks back to? That's your Bible. Amen? What's the Bible all about? If you want to come and join ministry school next year, that's what you're going to learn. The Bible, the Old Testament, points to Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts speaks about what Christ did while he walked on earth. And guess what? Jesus said, again, quoting him, John 16, it's better that my body go away. It's better that you don't see me anymore. I'm like, whoa, Jesus. He says, no, it's better because when I go away, I'm going to send him. The Comforter, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, the Dunamis power of God. I'm going to send him. And guess what? He's not going to just be in me. Jesus was baptized by the Holy Spirit and power. Acts 10:38, how Jesus Christ of Nazareth, speaking about the body, was baptized, was empowered by God, yes, through the Holy Spirit, to do what? Heal all, oppress all and that were oppressed of the devil. Went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's the one I was looking for. My mind was spinning. And then that same Jesus said what? You will do what I did and greater things. And that same Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Because without Him, you're going to fail. Without Him, you're going to be miserable. Without Him, you're going to burn out. And how many people in Christianity burn out? If you go look at the stats, it is scary the amount of pastors that either face depression, suicide, or just drop out of ministry. Like much more than what joins falls out worldwide. Now I'm asking the question, are they doing it with who they are and what they have? Or are they doing it with themselves? It was about a year ago in lockdown and I stood, and that's when you still felt guilty to go to Checkers, you remember? Like you felt like a criminal when you went to Pick and Pay, so I just only went there once, but at the other shops you felt sort of guilty. Because you're stepping out, like, do you really need milk? Like, yes, I do. That was what they made us feel like. And I stood there and I was in the queue and I looked at the Huisgenoot front page and there was a pastor or a dominie or someone who, with I think five kids, family of five, I can't remember the details, who committed suicide because the pressure of lockdown was just too much. On the front page of the Huisgenoot. And I stood there and I said, Lord, I don't know if he did it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going through a lot and there's a lot of people looking to us for leadership and guidance and wisdom. So I just need to look to God. And I mean, I'm not perfect like that. We tend to fix things and want to fix things. But whenever I can't, then I'm like, oh yeah, it's not me. Oh yeah, logic's not going to prevail. Oh yeah, I need more. I need God. I need the body. We need to speak together. And you know what? In the body, we really have the fullness of who God is. Because He is the head and we are the body. And last week we spoke about it and I said, you can even be a nostril hair for Christ. Amen? Even if you're a nostril hair, you're still part of the body. That's fine. You don't. What's your function? Well, ask the doctors. But you can. Even if you feel like a nostril hair, you are still part of the body. And I'm sure God's going to tell you, like, this is either your function or there's more for you, my dear son, my dear daughter. But even if you feel like I have no clue what this means, I'm probably just a nostril hair. You are complete in Him. Because without the nostril hair, the body is incomplete. And He is the head of the body, so you're quite close to Christ then as well. Amen? But we're making light of this, but we need you. That's my message. We need you. We need you to realize what you have and who you are. This morning, like, our team is not as big as it used to be. Amen? There's a few things that happened, and I don't know, but people go away after long weekends. I don't know if you've realized that. People, it's cheaper, so they feel like, okay, everyone's gone away, I need to catch up, so I'll go away next weekend. And from Tuesday, we were like, okay, guys, like, we need a team. We need to, like, and we were much more hands-on in terms of who does what and where and all of that, because we realize and we know that I cannot do it all. It's not my job to do everything. And if I'm now on streaming and on sound and on kids' church, do you just imagine for a moment what that would look like? And then there's kids crying and then I need to run here and I come back and then I'm sure there's some of you are going to be crying or leaving or like, and then the sound doesn't work so I need to say sorry. And we need all of us. We need all of us. We have the body of Christ, but we need everyone in the body, not just to be part of it, but to realize who we are and what we have. We need the nostril hairs to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, amen? To be the best nostril hair you can ever be. Be who you are, but be it for Christ. Focused on Him. I'm part of His body. It's not about my body, my ministry, my church. It's about Him. It's about what He's building. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him. It's beautiful. We know these verses, but like, you are built up where? In Him. Like, inside of this body, that is where you grow. Inside of this body, that is where you should grow. That is where you should find your place. And you grow up, and if I now start pumping irons, and my bicep starts growing, It's going to grow, but it's going to grow, hopefully and luckily, inside of my body. Okay. But so many people in the world, in Christianity, they want to grow their muscle, their faith muscle, but they want to grow it outside of the body. Now, I don't know about you, but that will look horrendous. If my bicep starts growing outside of my body, that's usually when you go for a procedure and they cut it off. We are called to grow up in Christ, in the body. Align yourself to church. If you have an amazing prophetic ministry, come and tell me so I can pastor you in that, so we can see the church benefit by that. If you have some crazy gift and you don't know how to live that out, come and tell me so we can pastor you in that. The best gifts operate in the church. Ephesians 3 and verse 21 says, the fullness of Christ is revealed in the church. The fullness, that's where your gift is going to find its place. And guess what? That's where you're going to flourish, rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding. That's beautiful. Again, abound. We should live the abounding life. What do we abound? In thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is such a key to living the abounding life. Thanksgiving, what does it say? I'm dependent. Thanksgiving is dependency and it is humility. And God gives grace to the humble. So if we're thankful, we know it's not of our source, it's of His source. We say, thank you, Jesus, that you did this for me. I don't have to do it by myself. So the moment you say thank you, you're already not self-centered. You're already saying, this is not my doing, this is someone else's doing. And by being less self-centered, you're becoming more humble. And God gives grace to the humble. So you see, our thankfulness really kicks off the dominoes that really brings in the grace and the favor of God. The ERV says, you must depend on Christ only. Oh, I love that. Ephesians 2 and verse 7, easy to read version. You must depend on Christ only. Now make a note, because in a week or so you might be very upset with me, but I'm going to refer you back to this verse. What do we depend on? Christ only, drawing life and strength from Him, just as you were taught in the truth. Continue to grow stronger in your understanding of it and never stop giving thanks to God. We looked at the first thing, the supremacy of Christ. Now we're looking at the centrality of Christ. Or centricity maybe is a better word. Christ is what it's about. So what do we depend on? I want to depend on what it's about. Amen? So if you qualify, if you do qualifying in Formula One, what's it about? It's about your time. It's not about who comes first and who comes last. I remember we went go-karting once, and we didn't really know what the rules of the game is. Okay? So we just drove, and actually the competition was fastest lap time. But we're fighting for position. I want to be in front of you, and you want to be in front of me. And then the guy who thought he won didn't, because they actually looked at who's then the fastest lap. And it was a guy that was in third or fourth place because he wasn't fighting for position. He had an open track. You see, in life, we should know what it's about. Because if we're going to, I read this quote in the week, and this sort of scared me. He said, the worst thing, our biggest fear should be that we are successful at something that doesn't matter. Whew. I know some people say our worst fears are that we are successful. No, our worst fear should be that we are successful at something that doesn't matter. I feel my teeth am I busy with things that matter? You feel that sort of to the core, like, what matters in the church? What matters in life? What matters is Christ. You must depend on Christ only. That is what we focus on. That is how we win. Why? Because we're going to look at the third thing this morning, the sufficiency of Christ. The sufficiency of Christ. Is Christ enough? Now I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you enjoying life? Are you enjoying life? Like, be honest, don't raise your hand. Ask yourself, am I enjoying life? It's a good question. I'm not saying, is everything going well? Is your circumstances perfect? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, are you enjoying life? Are you content with life? The second question then is, are you enjoying the Christ life on the inside of you? Are you enjoying the Christ life on the inside of you? Where is Christ inside of you? What is He? He's the hope of glory. So if your first answer is no, then I'm pretty sure the percentage of your second answer being no is going to be pretty high, the relation between those no's. If your first question is yes, I'm sure that there is going to be a high percentage of you that said yes, that would say, yes, I am enjoying the Christ-centered life. If you're not saying yes to the second one, then I want you to start tapping into that. Because otherwise, your joy is going to turn to happiness. You know what happens with happiness? It goes away. Amen? Joy is spiritual. Happiness is temporal. You have your birthday, you're happy. Tomorrow, maybe you're hungover. Maybe the cake is finished. Maybe you feel guilty for the sugar you ate. So you're not happy anymore, but joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So joy should never leave us. Joy comes with contentment, I believe. Are you tapping into the Christ life on the inside of you? Colossians 1 and verse 12. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by life, by living in the light. He has rescued us completely. Love that. From the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of His beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are cancelled, and we have the release of redemption through His very blood. How beautiful. The Son has cancelled all our sins, and we looked at that last week. Colossians 1:17. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in Him. How do you complete the Christian life? You find Christ. Because in Him, everything finds completion. Verse 20, and by the blood of His cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to Himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence. Again, that is the Passion Translation. What is Paul's message in the book of Colossians? What is his message? Never, ever minimize Christ. Never, ever minimize Christ. I don't know about you, if you go on your phone and you go on YouTube, you can minimize the screen and you can have it play in a little corner while you are busy with other things, while you're reading emails. Now, you know and I know, we think it's a good idea, but we miss out on either the emails or the video we're trying to watch. And that is what happens when we minimize Christ. We get busy with other things and we don't get the fullness of what we have in Him. We don't delve into, we don't drench ourselves, we're not empowered by what it means. So Paul says, never ever minimize Christ. Why? Because He is the power of God and He is the one through which we make an impact in this world. Everything finds completion in Him. What does he say? He is all that matters. Christ is all that matters. Colossians 2 and verse 10 from the New Living Translation. So you also are what? Complete through your union with Christ. You are complete, says the New King James. How? Through praying enough, through tithing enough, through serving on the dream team, through reading enough, through going through ministry school. No, you are complete in Him. What does it mean to be complete? So, when you have a delicious meal and you almost lick the plate, ladies, I know you don't do it, and then you put that plate aside and what say you? Klaar. Klaar. What did Jesus say on the cross? Finished. Nothing more to do. Nothing more to pay for. Nothing more to attain to. Nothing more. It is finished. It is done. It is for us. We have completion. Where? In Him. Yes, we know Christ is complete. I'm sure if we do a survey now and we say, is Christ complete? Is He perfect? Your Sunday school answer would be yes. And you probably believe that. I hope you do. But then if I ask a second question, are you complete? Are you perfect? Then we hesitate to say yes. Because we look at the facts. We look at the circumstances. We look at our lives. We look at our bank statement. We look at our marks. Because this whole world is about performance, marking, ranking. He says, you are complete. Where? In Him. You are complete in Him. What? He is the head of all principality and power. You are where? Complete. Where? In Him. Where is He? He is the head. He is above. He is reigning. He is ruling over what? All principality and all power. Where are we? in Him. What are we there? Complete. Where is that geographically in terms of the powers and the principalities of this world? This is the boss man. Amen? And we are in Him. So when sickness comes, when anxiety comes, when depression comes, when fear comes, when politics come, when pandemics come, what does it mean? Does it take away our completeness? Not if we are in Christ. And by the Holy Spirit, we are sealed in that position that we cannot even out-sin ourselves from that position or from with it. You cannot, sin will not make you incomplete. Sin will never take away from your completion. Because it's not about your actions, it's about your position. It's about your nature. That is about who we are in Christ. And in Him, we are complete. And if we are in Him, we are above all principalities and all powers. We are, oh brother, but we're the head only, not the tail. Live like it. Live like it. I'm blessed, only too blessed to be stressed. Live like it. Show me. Don't tell me. Tell your stresses, tell your anxieties who you are, where you are, what you have. Jesus said, Matthew 28, He says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go out. We think now He's giving us that power. He's not. All power has been given to me. Where are we? In Him. So we have that. We have that power. We have that position. We have that fullness. We have that completion. We have that perfection. Therefore, He's saying, guys, what are you waiting for? I'm not going to come again to do this again. I've taken all of it back. Of the fullness of God in a body, you cannot have Jesus 2.0. There's no upgrade. Okay? There's no new model coming out soon. There's no new doctrine, New Testament, the new Testament. No, it's like with one stage with Apple, you don't know what the model of the iPad is because it's the new iPad. But next year it's the new iPad again. So is it now the new iPad or the new iPad? It's Jesus. Amen? It's not the new Jesus and the old Jesus. There used to be an old way that was the law and the prophets. There's now a new way, the new and living way, the only way, the once and for all way, the eternal way, the Christ way. The completion way, the way of perfection, the way of inviting you into your reality, which is, I am complete. I cannot remember what it felt like to have all your work complete. Who, like, if you're a student, enjoy it. It doesn't last. Life doesn't work like that. When you're done with first year, second year, whatever, you get your marks and it's like, no goes for cancio. Happy, that was good times, man. And you're just like, there's nothing that you should be doing. Like, you don't have a time to get up. I don't know about you, but like adult life, there's always something I haven't yet done. There's always at least 10 million things. Okay, I want to say one or two or 10. No, there's many. There's unanswered emails. Then before you know it, you need to take the trash out again. Or before you know it, it's like you need to water the plants or you need to wash your car. The car gets dirty. You wash it and it gets dirty again. It's like there's so many things that's constantly fighting and keeping us busy that we cannot understand what it means to be finished, to be complete, to be done with. Because as soon as we hand over a project, a new one starts. That's why we struggle so much to get this in our minds that in our spirit, man, in Christ, we are complete, which means there is nothing more to do. Wow. I don't know about you, but that feels to me like an oasis of peace. That feels to me like still waters and green grass. That feels to me like a picnic from heaven, amen? And not one that you sit there, you know, like, oh, I need to go because we've got things to do. Like, you can't even enjoy the moment anymore in life because there's always something we need to do. Somewhere we need to go. Some WhatsApp we need to answer. Amen? We're never done. Your WhatsApps are never complete. But you are complete in Christ. You have perfection for all eternity in Him who is the head of the body, above all principalities and powers, above every sickness, the name above every name of God. Yes, every name of sickness. I have a name above cancer. Yes, you do. It's Jesus. I have a name above diabetes. Yes, you do. It's Jesus. But you have a name above Jehovah Jireh. You have a name above Jehovah Rapha. You have a name above Jehovah Shalom. Because that all gives us a picture, a view of who God is. God is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God of power and fire. No, God is in Jesus, in Christ, the fullness of who God is, the complete package, the perfection. No upgrades, no sell-ons, no come back next week for more. No, all of who God is in Jesus, and we in Him. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I ask you with tears in my eyes, why are the churches not preaching this? Isn't this good news? Isn't this revelation? Isn't this the power of God unto salvation? Isn't this what the world so desperately needs? To tell the world that they are okay. They are doing all right. In fact, they are doing great if they are in Christ. In fact, guess what? There's nothing more for us to do. We are complete in Him. Let's tell the world out there about a God who is satisfied. A God who is love, a God who is good, a God who forgets your sin, and you don't need to remind Him of it. He wants to forget it. Amen? Sometimes you forget a name and you're like, what's that name again? Like, help me. God is not like, what's that sin again? Like, help me. No. He says, what are you talking about? You come with all your list of sins. What are you talking about? You are complete. You are perfect. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Him, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off or cutting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And I want to just end off here with Colossians 2 and verse 8. Because he gives us a warning. He gives us a warning and he says, beware lest anyone cheat you. Who wants to be cheated? Who wants to be scammed? Like, I've been scammed, like, I'm just have a good heart, so I get scammed, but I should not go by emotions. One day someone said to me, he needs petrol, this and that. I can even keep his watch. Now, you're not going to take a guy's watch. And I mean, before he knew it, he was off with 700 grand, never to see him again. And then you feel like nauseating almost. Like, can one human being do this to another? My stupidity, I know. You can pray for me afterwards. Fool me once. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you. So can I tell you, don't let people cheat you. Like you want to tell me now, Peter, that was stupid. Don't give money to strangers. Beware lest anyone cheat you. How? Through philosophy, through empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world. And what, Peter, what does all these things mean? What is this philosophy? What is empty deceit? What is traditions of men? I've specifically wondered, what is the principles, the basic principles of the world? It's how the world works, okay? But you know what? Can I give you the easy answer? It's like A, B, C, or D, all of the above. It is anything that is not according to Christ. How will people cheat you? If it's anything that's not according to Christ, they are out to cheat you. Again, like, open your Bible, read it. Beware lest anyone cheat you. How? Through philosophy, deceit, traditions of men, the basic principles of this world. Anything that is not according to Christ. You know, sincerity will get you into a lot of trouble. Sincerity will get you into a lot of trouble because you just meant good. You just have a good heart. You just want to help people. Well, they don't necessarily want to help you. They want to cheat you. They want to get from you. They want to gain. They want to grow in what they can have. But if it's not according to Christ, then it is out to cheat you, to steal from you, to deceive you. It is about Jesus. Because why? If it is completion in Christ, how can we add anything to that? If it is perfection in Him, why do we need philosophy? Why do we need deceit? Why do we need traditions? Why do we need how the world operates if it is all complete and perfect in Christ? Again, if I go to the Mona Lisa now in the Louvre in France, and I got to add some philosophy because we just had this debate and we realized that her eyes should be more sparkly, I'm going to mess up perfection. Or I'm going to go and I'm going to say, but according to the basic principles of the world, this thing is too small, or the ratios are out. Like, and I'm going to, like, you know what? The world will hate me because I've cheated them of something that was a gift that is perfect in the eyes of those who behold it. When we have Christ, we have completion. We have perfection. I love this, the New Living Translation, and I'm ending really now with this. It says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. Sometimes you just need a translation that says it as it is, huh? That come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. What is this high-sounding nonsense? Anything that is not Christ. It can sound so great. It can sound so intricate, so wise. No, for in Christ lives all the fullness, verse 9, of God in a human body. In Christ lives the fullness of God in a body. So you are all complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Verse 9 we deal with. Like, we say amen. We say yes, it is so, obviously. Now what does it mean for us? Just go back to verse 9 to me, please. For in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Yeah, Jesus is the one. He's the Son of God. He is God visible in human form. He is the manifestation of who God is. Yes, amen. But what does it mean for us? Thank you, Paul, for telling us. Verse 10. You are complete in Him. And He is the head of all principality and power. Again, I'm going to ask you, do you feel like it? I'm going to be honest and say most days I don't. I feel incomplete. I feel I need to do more. I need to attain more. I need to serve more, bless more, work more. So I am standing in front of you and say, hey, church, let's go. And let's get renewed in our minds that we are complete in Christ. Let's get a handle on what it means to have this perfection, to be part of this. And guess what? I think we're going to live some awesome lives from there on. I think we're going to live lighter. We're going to live more powerful. We're going to live without trying to still appease and have the traditions of men. We're not going to please people, but we're going to realize that God is pleased with us. So I'm saying let's go on this journey and let's go dive deep into what this Christian reality really is all about. And let's go find out what we've been looking for maybe for a long time. Our sins are forgiven. I think if you've been in Grace Life for anything but like longer than a year, you should know that. If you don't, like, get the resources, listen to it. Our sins are forgiven. We are forgiven in Christ. The law is no longer an issue. It's dealt with. Sin is forgiven. It's paid for. We need to receive that. We need to bank the check. And now we need to, now we're invited. Now what? Now what? As you've received Him, the full payment, now walk in Him. So a lot of people worldwide, Christians specifically, we get stuck in the receiving Him part. And we never move over to the walking in Him part. And then we live lives where we burn out and we're unhappy and we're like not living purpose and destiny and fulfillment. Because we are just in like, oh, Lord, forgive me. Tomorrow, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Like, that's receiving Him. But Paul says, now walk in Him. Now go out there. Now go and live the gospel life, the Christian life, the abundant life. Go and tell people. Go and tell some sicknesses where they should go. Go and tell some demons where to go hide. Go and tell some dead people to get up. Because guess what? The same power who rose Jesus from the dead, from the grave, Romans 8 and verse 11, says now we're in us. It's in us. It's not out there. It's not to be stirred up. It's not to be paid for. It's not to be... It is to enjoy. It is to release. It is to realize. Because we live the empowered life. We live the Christ life. We are the head. We are in Him and we are complete in the body of Christ.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to connect with us, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us at info@gracelife.co. If you'd like to order more resources or discover more about us, you can visit our website at www.gracelife.co or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.